football. Luckily, you're extremely creative and you find stuff to write about, but it is it's finally here and we actually have real content, which is nice.
And actual football, which is the reason we do this. That's what makes, by the way, that's what makes your college football fan different than your NFL fan. We don't actually do this so we can talk about contracts or fantasy. We do this because we happen to just like the football for the most part.
That's right. Now, we did talk some contracts through the summer because we were worried about Johnny Manziel.
Right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, from a farce standpoint, where do you put the Manziel saga?
It's a solid 7 as far as a farce. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got pretty high standards for a farce.
Yes, I would imagine.
But I will say that creating a scandal over somebody selling their own autograph, you're already at a 5, or 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And then you get a couple of bonus points for putting grown men, which, by the way, this is the other thing, grown men and grown women whose job is to enforce the rules of this imaginary organization that schools use as a protection against paying taxes on the profitable businesses they run. That's a good point or two right there, right? And then you get ESPN treating it as if this were an actual thing. So let's give it an 8. Now that I'm revising, let's take it up to an 8.
What kind of suspension would Johnny Manziel have faced if he had sold his own blood?
That's what I'm wondering. Because does the blood belong to the NCAA? If he puts it in a bag and then autographs it, does that change it? He could sell his blood.
Does the bag have an A&M logo on it?
I don't know. That changes the entire equation. Does A&M get a cut? Do we consider that memorabilia? Or is that a good that you would purchase in a grocery store, right?
Mm, yeah.
I think if his name is on it, right, then we're in trouble. But if he's just selling his blood, say, at the blood bank, I think as long as he gives Texas A&M a cut, he's in the clear.
This exchange is exactly what our show is. This is our show. That was our show in a nutshell right there, that entire conversation about Johnny Manziel's blood in a bag. Yes, Bill Vickery would like to weigh in with a question.
I just wanted to ask, but you made a very good point. Look, hasn't ESPN and a couple of the other so-called legitimate sports news outlets, they've turned Johnny Manziel into the Kim Kardashian of college football, that he's, you know, they cover his going out to somewhere.
Dressed
he's at
up
a frat
like Scooby-Doo.
Party. I don't know that he hasn't done anything, with the exception of the Manning camp, that any other college kid didn't do, or frankly some of the legendary college athletes that we've known did. On the gridiron, off the gridiron, and all that. But they treat it, I mean, that whole thing, they gave it legitimate wall-to-wall coverage like it was, the Watergate hearings.
Yeah, ESPNTMZ.com is definitely loaded up on it.
They legitimize it. Mm-hmm. And that they're the problem, not necessarily, you know, a 20-year-old redneck who can throw the football and has got some spending cash.
Well, and has a bit more spending cash than most other players due to his family being very well off, which is a definite factor in this, and that if there is a player who does not have that money and comes from a background of zero privilege, they're getting tattooed over this. Mm-hmm. I give you the case of Dez Bryant, or I give you the case of A.J. Green, right? I don't want to necessarily involve a racial element in it.
Great point.
It's there. Mm. But I think it's more a matter of class, because this is a sport that, despite its faults, I love, that relies a lot on leveraging, you know, poor kids or kids who don't necessarily know. Okay, or don't even use the word kids. You know, young adults who don't necessarily understand the business that they're entering, and leveraging that power and the promise of becoming a star athlete against them.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you look at what happened to Dez Bryant. Tell me that's any different. At least in Manziel's case, the rule that he's being suspended for is that he knowingly didn't attempt to stop the sale of his own autograph.
It's all Uncle Nate's fault.
And that was a backdoor for the NCAA to save a little bit of face, because at the end of the day,
they wanted to save little Johnny's face. Was the most important thing for them.
What truly separates Manziel is that his family have the means to provide real significant legal representation, and they drop it. You want to see our bank records?
You see the I'm sure you did, Spencer and Bill. I don't know if you went online or not. The promotional picture on the website of the attorneys that represented him. I mean, these dudes had like 20 gallon hats.
Yeah,
it was so sweet. I was like, you don't want to mess with these guys in a court of law.
Well, they're
just, and on top of that, East Texas Oil Mafia.
Yeah.
Don't mess with them.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Coincidence?
Houston, right.
Perhaps.
That's all.
I like the. It wasn't the attorney's brother, the guy that wasn't representing. His name is Jeep. That's so country. I love it.
Anyway.
What about Jadeveon Clowney? Let's switch gears to another guy who some people had in the Heisman conversation. On a scale of 1 to 10, how farcical is it that Clowney was in the Heisman conversation, considering that would be so unprecedented and so silly? Although we just had a freshman win the Heisman, which had never happened before either. But he certainly didn't seem too inspired to win the Heisman last night.
No, and you know, this is the hard part is trying to weed out how bad his conditioning was. And frankly, most people's conditioning is really bad at this point in the season. Game conditioning, it's a different thing than off-season conditioning. It really is, and it does take some time. Additionally, he said he had a stomach virus, which I would, you know, sure, maybe he did. And he said, you know, that he felt weak. Yeah, and it was hot, by the way. Columbia, South Carolina is one of the hottest places on the planet. You'll notice a lot of people, by the way, in week one, struggling with cramps. The Vandy Ole Miss game was full of them. So my point being that it's not unprecedented to see a 274-pound man, even one who's ripped like Clowney, come out and get winded, particularly when, this is another thing people weren't pointing out, North Carolina was running 1.5 plays for every play that South Carolina ran. They were on the field a long time because, though they weren't very productive, North Carolina was doing nothing fast. They ran far more plays than South Carolina, who scored on these sort of big plays.
Right.
The touchdowns were, you know, I believe over 70 yards, one on the air, one on the ground. So he did play a lot of snaps. By the way, this is pretty common for defensive linemen to rotate in and out. That's the game that defensive lines play now, is heavy rotation.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem.
Spurrier wasn't happy with his conditioning either, though,
right,
which to me says that there was some issue there.
Yeah, the thing that got me was, how do you just discover that on game night, first of all, because they've been practicing in Columbia, South Carolina, presumably. The thing that bothered me was the patty cake he was playing when he was in there. I understand they're going to rotate out. I don't expect him to play every down, especially a guy that's a pass rusher like he is. But anyway, whatever. I think, look, the Heisman conversation was, my point is, I think that whole thing was a little bit of a stretch. As exciting as he is, and as much as he had that highlight played 1,000 times, it may be a bit of a stretch to have a defensive lineman in the conversation. Brett Bielema, I know you were a guy that, and we tried to get you on right after SEC Media Days, couldn't make the connection, but a guy that certainly stands out. There was a writer this week that said, I don't know how Arkansas and Bielema have done without one another this long. It seems to be an excellent fit. He's embraced it. His wife's embraced it. The people here in the state of Arkansas have embraced him. I know you certainly considered him a standout at SEC Media Days, so your thoughts on him, and it's been a whirlwind media tour for him.
Doing the thing that I think he needs to do, because in year one, if you're coming off of the debacle that was the John L. Smith interim year, following an even bigger disaster in the Bobby Petrino case, incident, saga, however you want to call it, I think you're looking at somebody who understood that he needed to come in and he needed to have some attitude, excite people, and, you know, frankly, talk a little business. You know, get people going, because I think he understands that's the Arkansas fan base. They like a little bit of that. They like somebody who's going to have a little bravado. Additionally, though, I really don't know what to make of them. You know, this was a switch. Gary Anderson going from Utah State to replace him at Wisconsin, and then Bielema going from Wisconsin to Arkansas. Those are two cases where I have no idea how either team is going to do on the field, in part because I'm not really sure whether Arkansas is going to have the sort of wherewithal in terms of personnel and knowing the new schemes that they're bringing in, you know, to do what Bielema wants to do. Same thing at Wisconsin. So I'm really, really unsure of what the product will be on the field.
Okay, so when you look at their schedule, which we factor in heavily and we're trying to predict what's going to play out, what do you think is their best bet? What's their best case scenario for them this year?
Well, fortunately, out of conference is all right. You know, they've, like many SEC teams, they have managed to stock the shelf with some snacks. So that's good. You need snacks. You need, you know, 3 or 4 easy wins in there, because your conference schedule is, frankly, going to be very tough. I don't think playing University of Louisiana Lafayette in the first game does them any favors, because Lafayette is a good team.
Yeah.
They are a very good team. They very nearly beat Florida in the Swamp last year. They play a fast pace. It is going to be hot. It'll be the first game for Arkansas, whereas Louisiana Lafayette knows what they're doing. They have an outstanding quarterback. That's a nasty challenge for them first. And Rutgers, by the way, lost last night on a two-point conversion in the first overtime, but looked really good offensively, so they're going to be able to challenge them. However, the core of the schedule does come down to conference play. I think for them in the West, you know, Alabama's a lost cause for them this year. I think they can take Auburn. I think Ole Miss is probably the game of greatest toss-up potential because Ole Miss is going to be very, very good this year, but a lot of that hinges on Bo Wallace staying upright. So if Arkansas can put some pressure on them, then, you know, you're looking at, you know, probably fourth in the division. Third would be really good.
We just want them to get to a bowl game. I don't really care where they finish in the division. I'd take a 6-6 record right now. Is that
Six and six seems hard, but doable. And by the way, that's just saying that this is year one and it's going to be hard. But let's just say, rolling through this, that they beat Louisiana Lafayette, Stanford, Southern Miss, Rutgers, and then pick up a couple of conference games. That takes them to six games. So I mean, that
all sounds so easy.
I know it does sound so easy, but the games on the schedule that are going to be hardest for them. I mean, Alabama, South Carolina is going to be extremely difficult. I think Ole Miss is going to be hard, and I think LSU is going to be very difficult. You're looking at, you know, picking up a game against Mississippi State or Auburn.
What about the big game this weekend, Georgia-Clemson?
I don't think Georgia has got the experience to stop Clemson offensively because they're so fast, and they run so many plays, and they are so aware of what they're supposed to do within that system. That also describes Georgia's offense. We should be able to put up a significant number of points there, but at the same time, I just don't see defensively, with the experience that Georgia Lawson has to replace, I don't see them being able to keep up. A month from now, that defense is going to be a lot better, but game one against Clemson is a very tall order.
Like, is Clemson going to play so fast that Jadeveon Clowney will be over on the sideline cramping up for Georgia? I mean, is that how bad it's going to be?
I think he might be cramping up on the couch watching it.
Yeah,
they're going to be that fast.
Well, they get him later in the year, so we'll see. I bet he'll be in better shape by then. Whether or not he's in good enough shape to stop that offense, I don't know. We'll see.
Clemson ran one of the most amazing total numbers I have ever seen in the Chick-fil-A Bowl last year, running 100 plays against LSU, which is just astonishing.
That's a lot. Spencer, we appreciate the time. Always a pleasure to have you on. Certainly now that we're in the season, we would love to do it again. Everydayshouldbesaturday.com. It is a great read. It is a how would you describe your website to somebody who's never been on there?
It's an atrocity.
No, that's not it. I don't want to call it quirky, but it is a unique perspective on college football that you'll never find anywhere else.
It would be this, that we would only do what we wanted to do. That what we like to do is generally fun because it's a very silly sport and you really shouldn't get too serious about it. As my friend Holly Anderson sometimes says, quoting an old Yahoo commenter of hers, you know, you should have more fun with this and stop being mad that you didn't win state 20 years ago.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Uncle Rico. All right, Spencer, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
My pleasure.
All right.
It is a great way. I rip it off every Sunday.
Oh, it's so good.
I rip it off every Sunday because it is a great rep.
Oh, and it's the gifts. It's amazing. And he's so creative and so it's just so different than anything else you'll read. My buddy Matt Finch turned me on to this a few years ago, and Spencer turned out to be a spectacular interview on top of the fact that he's a great writer and the website's amazingly creative. So
yeah, you get the sense when you do interview him, because I've heard him on the show before and now,
it's like
that
he
sort of writes
it
all in one stream of consciousness, and then boom, that's on the website immediately. He's a funny guy.
If you had a little more time, you could do that as a part-time gig.
I did want to ask him, though, if you had a spelling bee between Dabo Swinney and Les Miles, Who would lose?
See, now that would be a great. That's the kind of thing they would write about on there.
Because as talented as Clemson is, when you look on that sideline and you see that version of R.J. Hawk,
oh boy,
Dabo Swinney, you know you've got a chance.
Well, Les got through Michigan, so it's a fairly decent school.
First of all, that was Michigan in the Bo Schembechler days. I mean,
what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm just saying.
They probably were covering for some athletes in the classroom, you're saying?
I'm saying they did not do that.
One thing we can all agree
on. He's probably a phys ed major. So,
okay. Something. Okay. Not a geography major.
Yeah.
Geology?
Geography.
Is that rocks?
Or Kansas?
Astrology.
You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room to be the best coach. We've seen it over and over again.
That's true.
Every year.
Just got to get him on campus.
At least every year with LSU. Check out Suddenlink On Demand if you want to feel smart on Suddenlink Channel 1. 10,000 titles available, many for free. TV and movie favorites, Suddenlink has it all for you. And, of course, you can watch all those games from around the country as well. I need to find out from somebody if the Colorado-Colorado State game is on this Sunday. Please, someone.
No, it is.
It's got to be somewhere, right?
It's on.
Okay, I need somebody to find it for me because, or let me know if the, you know what channel it's on, please. I guess I could look for it.
That's the battle of two schools with good helmets.
I'll give you that. Yeah, the Rams have a good helmet.
Rams have great helmets.
You're right. I need to see a little bit of Colorado because they've got a new coach. And anyway, I digress. Get many new releases 28 days before Netflix or Redbox coming out on September 3rd. Now You See Me. Maddie, did you see that? Maddie's on the phone.
He sees everything.
That's true. Now You See Me. And if you haven't seen me, Maddie T has. Star Trek Into Darkness, World War Z, which I thought was very good, surprisingly, on my part. From September 7th. It comes out September 17th. Iron Man 3 is out this month on video on demand from our friends at Suddenlink as well. So lots of good stuff. 979-836-6901. It is Suddenlink. Give them a call at suddenlink.com. Be back in a moment. 11:50.